Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Welcome to Ujiria. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined with both Brad and Kevin in Texas. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning. What's the weather like going to be here in 2 days, guys?
Well, you had the cold weather that we sent your way.
Yes.
And so it's going to get steamy again, I'm afraid.
Thank you. Finally. It was like 50 degrees here this morning.
That's crazy. When I left Atlanta a couple of days ago, it was the high was going to be 62 or 63. I don't get that in mid-May.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
But I think we're done with that for now, though.
And summer's going to be here, right? It's going to be in the 80s, 90?
Yeah, I think it's going to get really hot this weekend. So anyway, so this morning, we a little bit unusual in that we have only one guest this morning for a guest so big that she needs her own show. We have actually a return guest with us this morning, but with a new organization, and we have Renee Stout with us representing Vitas Hospice. Good morning, Renee.
Good morning, Brad.
How are you?
Fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to see you again. So if we could just start by having you kind of remind us of your background. I know you were a guest with us, probably 6 months ago, huh?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
But remind us of your background and then tell us a little bit about what you're doing now.
Well, I, back in the 90s, got my marketing degree and went straight into marketing. And unfortunately, I went into the manufacturing sector and realized it wasn't exactly where my heart was. So it led me to senior care. In 2007, I got my first job at an independent living senior retirement community in Dallas, and then I decided I wanted a more well-rounded portfolio, so I went to assisted living and got some experience there. And shortly after that, I went to ambulance service, which was phenomenal, and it allowed me to network with a lot of the great companies here in Dallas that offer excellent senior care. And through that, I found Vitas, who I hold in very high regard, and I'm very proud to work for.
So you don't sound like a Texas native. Are you from Texas?
You've got that right. I am not from Texas. I went to college, was raised, born, educated in Connecticut. And then I moved to Dallas right after college.
Oh, okay. So you're one of those damn Yankees.
Not anymore. I've been here 16 years, so I think I'm now a Southern. I want to be.
Very good. You've been here 16 years.
Yes,
sir.
That's
a long time. That's long enough to feel like a native.
I feel like I love Dallas. Absolutely love Texas.
Well, very good. So you work for Vitas now. Obviously, having been part of the senior industry for a long time, you had known about hospice. And I think before we were on the air here, you were sharing a little bit about the fact that you felt originally that hospice might be a little uncomfortable. So tell us a little bit about why you were drawn into hospice and, you know, how it's different than maybe you had initially thought it might be.
I'd love to. Hospice, I, like many people out there, thought hospice meant you had a week left to live. You were done. You were finished, kaput. That is not at all what hospice is about. And I learned that through working at these communities and through experiencing it hands-on with the residents who live there. And as time progressed, I got to understand hospice a little better. I do understand that there's a lot of competition out there, and that was a big deterrent for me in the beginning. However, I did my homework and research and found the company that stood out the most in Dallas, who could teach me the most and who did the extensive training that I would need to do to eventually serve excellent customer service. And so Vitas has led me down that path, and they have trained me. There's a curriculum and everything. When you get started, they don't just throw you out, out on the street and say, figure it out. They actually, you have a classroom setting, you have books and tests, and you have to understand what you're going out and talking to your customers about.
You said that VITAS had what you were looking for, that it was kind of the strength of the company itself that attracted you. Tell me what it was about VITAS that made you want to come there.
Sure. First of all, they've been in business over 30 years. They started in Florida, and they were an all-volunteer nonprofit organization. I believe that that is definitely a great beginning, being that they understand what it takes to provide hospice, and they were involved in getting the Medicare hospice benefit law passed when they realized that hospice is really definitely a needed service for those people who are terminally ill.
Renee, I know from my personal experience that communicating the real hospice message can be a challenge. And you hear stories, one immediately that comes to mind is Harmon Killebrew over the weekend announced that he was ending his fight with cancer and entering hospice.
Mm-hmm.
And he passed away yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of could help perpetuate that notion that you enter hospice, maybe you have 2 days. How do you communicate the message that that's not necessarily the case? And how do you break down those presumptions that people make about hospice?
Well, with hospice, the way it is diagnosed is that the physician determines that medical treatments, any kind of prescription usage is no longer viable to get better. The person is continuously declining. I think the one thing that I stress on when I'm discussing hospice with my customers or with a family is that you're not giving up. What you're doing is you're allowing yourself to be the family member, be the daughter, be the son, be the grandchild, be the child, hold their hand, read a book, watch movies. Let us take care of the caregiving side. Let us take care of the bathing and the activities of daily life that this person can no longer do. You have the benefit. You're entitled to it. It's 100% covered by Medicare Part A. And if you understand that the direction your terminal illness is going in is not going to get better, why not take advantage of a free service that covers all of your expenses associated with the diagnosis, and letting us help you write the best last chapter of your life book.
And that's a great point. I think it occurs to me that the reality is that people make their own decision about whether or not they're going to continue to fight the disease before they ever get confronted with the decision about whether or not to go to hospice. So in the case of cancer, mm-hmm. they make a decision either to continue on with chemotherapy or radiation or not.
Mm-hmm.
If they choose not to continue on with chemo or radiation, then theoretically they should be eligible for hospice, right?
Theoretically.
So at that point, then they've kind of made that decision. And so by choosing hospice after they've already decided not to take more chemotherapy certainly isn't giving up. Rather it's just continuing on with whatever course they would have, except they're taking advantage of the benefit that hospice provides. There are some others where it's a grayer area, isn't there? Like congestive heart failure because how do you really treat that? And we've seen much earlier diagnoses with things like that than with cancer, because cancer seems to be a real concrete decision. Either I'm going to go with chemotherapy, radiation, or I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Can you want to comment on that a little bit? I know you wanted to talk there.
Sure. No, it is so symptom-driven, and I don't think people understand that with hospice. It is totally symptom-driven. Somebody with cancer oftentimes will fight right to the end. They'll keep trying to go for aggressive treatments to get better. And oftentimes, it's, in my experience thus far, it's right near the end that they decide, okay, I can't do this anymore. I don't have the strength. It's working. It's not helping. So they get on service. However, somebody with end-stage dementia cannot decide for themselves. So their families have to be involved and have to determine what is the best course to take down what road for mom or dad to make sure that they are comfortable and that they die with dignity. And that is absolutely a number one, our first concern. Take care of the patients and families. They will always come first. That's a VITAS. That's what we believe in. That's what we all follow, and I love it. About diseases, I think the most complicated one for me so far that is tough to determine at what point you decide it's terminal is renal failure. Mm-hmm. When people go to dialysis, you keep wanting to go to dialysis. However, if someone, a term that we use often in hospice is comorbidity, and that means you have something other than maybe renal disease. You also have chronic heart failure. Well, that may allow you to get on hospice per the comorbidity. You can still go to dialysis. However, you can be on hospice for the chronic heart failure. It's that's where it gets a little bit trickier. You have to know your patient. That's why we absolutely have to have their physicians involved, and their physicians have to also think that they are their prognosis is for hospice, and they have to write a hospice order. So we work very closely with their attending physician. We have a fantastic medical director over our hospice, and she only works for our hospice. She doesn't work anywhere else, Dr. Prather. And she will work with the attending to make sure that this person is getting on our service for the right reasons. We will not ever take someone who is not terminally ill or not in the right place as far as hospice goes.
Do you think that's common with other companies? And do you think that there are companies that are putting people onto hospice that shouldn't be on hospice?
You know, Brad, I've been with VITAS for 5 months now, and I can't possibly speculate on that because I'm not in there asking those kind of questions. I'm in there asking, what can I do for your family?
Sure.
What can VITAS do?
Yeah.
So I really can't pinpoint that. I hope they're not, on behalf of the families and the residents, but it's, you know, they're the ones who have to sleep with it at night, and that's how I look at it. And VITAS, we can sleep at night.
You said VITAS started as a nonprofit.
Yes, sir.
And how long are they? They're a for-profit company now.
We are now.
At what point did they make the transition?
I believe it was in 1980s.
Okay, early on.
Yeah, and please understand, for-profit and non-for-profit, all it is a difference in how you're taxed. That's it. You know, nonprofits definitely stress how much they've donated for charitable work. Well, VITAS has donated $9.9 million for charitable cases. So we don't say no if you don't have the money. We do accept charitable cases, and we're very, very genuine with that.
So a charitable case would be a case where they are not technically eligible for hospice, but they need some palliative care.
It'd be somebody who's homeless.
Question.
It'd be someone who's homeless. Someone who doesn't have any benefits whatsoever. Somebody who is economically challenged, doesn't have any assets, doesn't have, may not even have Medicare. They don't, because if they did, that's how we would go. But we definitely consider all cases, and there are people out there with no benefits. It's hard to believe, but it's true.
And does Medicaid cover hospice, or is it just Medicare?
Medicaid, private insurance, and Medicare cover hospice.
Okay.
And it depends on where they are, what their status is, and in which category they would fall. But yes, all those do cover hospice.
Do you ever see anybody doing private pay for hospice?
I haven't yet. But again, our company is so large that I can't speak on behalf of everyone, but I haven't experienced that yet.
So let me go back to that for one second. VITAS is a national company?
Yes, sir.
And you have offices
all over the nation?
All over the nation.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. We're in Connecticut and Florida and, you know, Kansas and Arizona and, all over the place. Chicago, of course. We have a call center up there.
Okay.
So you've been with VITAS for 5 months.
Yes, sir.
So I assume you've already met plenty of patients and have a lot of stories to tell. Is there one that sticks out in your mind, a story with a patient that kind of touched you personally?
You know, as a matter of fact, I had one recently. The family just needed me to be there. So it was the end of the day. I raced back to Dallas. I sat down with them. They were familiar with hospice, but it was the patient and her daughter. And the patient was able to communicate with me, too. So that was very, very touching. And being able to talk with her and her being okay with it helps me get over hurdles. You know, the emotional side is hard to keep in check. Oftentimes when you get back to your car, you go, phew. And sometimes you cry and sometimes you don't. It's, you know, it touches you differently. But when I'm able to sit down with the patient and their family and talk to them both, I feel like I've completed the circle and I've done the right thing. And not that I've done the wrong thing if it's just with the family. It's just you feel like if you've been able to include the patient, that's a good ending chapter, life chapter to me. So.
Does VITAS provide continuous care?
Absolutely.
So can you talk a little bit about what that is?
Sure. We have four different levels of care at VITAS. We have routine care, which is what most people are familiar with. We have a nurse who takes care of the plan of care, case manager, and that person goes out usually once a week, depending, again, it's symptom-driven. And then we have CNAs who are also VITAS employees, and they go out and help the patient, and again, it's symptom-driven.
So the CNAs would be doing
bathing
yep. visit or something like
yep.
that?
Yep, exactly. Organizing medications, whatever needs to be done from a more clinical standpoint. So the family, again, can be a family member.
Sure.
They can do family things. They don't have to be the caretaker all the time. Continuous care, when the symptoms start to show a severe decline and the person cannot be left alone for any period of time, that's when the case manager determines that they need to be on continuous care. Continuous care is 24-hour medical management in the patient's home. Just last quarter, as a matter of fact, we had 86% of our routine and continuous care patients die, and we were there for their death. 86%, that's great.
The continuous care is, it's limited for a certain period of time, isn't it? Or?
It is checked every 24 hours. The case manager comes out. She does the assessment. She determines, again, if the patient is improving, they may go back to routine care.
Right.
If they are continuing to decline, then they stay on continuous care.
And so typically, somebody would be on continuous care for anywhere from 24 hours to...
Till they no longer need to be. There's no set limit. It's up to the case managers. And I found out recently you can't put a day limit on it. Because it could last a week, it could last 2 weeks, it could last 2 hours, it could last 2 days.
But it's not the kind of thing where a family just says, well, we need help 24 hours a day and we're just going to call in VITAS and they'll be with us for months.
No, they would have to be appropriate. And no, that would be something, that's where we team up with home cares and home health.
Yeah.
We team up with them however we can to make sure that the Medicare guidelines are being followed, but that the person's needs are being met.
Right.
Our third kind of service that we have at VITAS is inpatient. That's for very ill people who are having a serious condition at the moment, usually the pain management thing where the morphine isn't helping or nothing is helping alleviate the pain. We take care of them in an inpatient setting for about 24 hours
yeah.
and do a check. Then we do respite care as well, where if you need a break.
Right.
You need to bring your mom.
As a family member.
Yep. You need a break, but they need 24-hour care, or they need, you know, routine care.
Yeah.
We do respite as well.
It's hard to imagine pain that would be so bad that morphine doesn't cut it.
It is hard to imagine. Let's hope we don't all go there.
Tell me something that surprised you about hospice. You know, maybe things that people wouldn't ordinarily think of, you know, I mean, so you were new to it,
mm-hmm.
you've had 5 months, but is there anything that surprised you coming into this?
Yeah, there's volunteers. VITAS has a whole entire department devoted to volunteers, and I've been real blessed and able to speak with some of the volunteers and work with them in Irving. They're phenomenal. Majority of them had a great experience with hospice with a loved one somewhere and want to give back. Some of them just want to give back. They just want to spend time with these families or with these patients so that they understand they're not alone. So the volunteering had no idea hospice could provide that kind of service mm-hmm. above and beyond the medical.
So what do the volunteers typically do?
We have music. We have people who play music. We have people who will do crafts or
And they come into the inpatient unit, or do they go into people's homes?
Go to people's homes.
Really?
Or assisted living, or wherever the person lives.
Wow.
If the family requests volunteers. As a matter of fact, I tried helping yesterday set something up for one of my patients to have a volunteer go out and sit with her. She enjoys keeping her hands busy. So I suggested that and said, this is what she enjoys. Can we look into that? I talked with my volunteer manager, Alex. She's phenomenal. And she's, yep, we'll make it happen.
So these volunteers are typically family members or?
No.
I mean, family members of previous clients or?
Some are. And then also we had 10 volunteers from a college out in Irving. I don't want to get it wrong. I think it's Lakewood College.
Okay.
They went and did an ice cream social at one of my communities
that
I went and helped. And it was wonderful. They interacted with the residents. They interacted with the staff. It was a lot of fun, and it showed a real personal side of hospice and how we can give back to the community beyond the clinical.
Excellent. Yeah. I know you have an event coming up that you want to tell us about. Mm-hmm. So why don't you do that?
Yes, I'm very excited. I didn't know about this either, and now I'm really excited about it. It's called Camp Conquer, and it's a camp for children. We're helping children conquer grief one step at a time. VITAS, as well as Grace Hospice, Foundation for End of Life Care, Mike Albert Incorporated, Robert Owen, Dignity Memorial, Denton Bible Church, and individual and corporate donors are all co-sponsoring this camp. It's up in Anna, which is just north of McKinney, right on the other side of Westminster. I went and saw it recently. And what it is it focuses on a safe and nurturing environment for children ages 9 to 14 who have experienced the loss of a loved one. This loved one does not need to have been on our service. They could be a family member, a church friend. It could be anyone. But children, we oftentimes think of taking care of the adult family children, the friends, but we forget there's little people involved, too, who also have a big hole in their heart when they lose a grandparent or a parent or friends, even. So I believe this is the third year. I may be off on that, but it's third year we're hosting this camp. And it's going to include activities, music, team building, outdoor activities, canoeing, rope courses, swimming, and more. So it's a three-day camp from June 3rd to the 5th in 2011. Coming up quick. And I'm very, 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 very proud to tell you that VITAS has raised the money to sponsor 23 children.
Wow.
So very excited. If anyone has a child they're interested in possibly getting in to go to this community, you need to contact Deidre Enck at 469-450-2126. Or her email is campconquer@yahoo.com. And her name is Deidre, D-E-I-D-R-A. And you need to talk with her about a child in your life who you think could use this camp. And it's free. So no charge, free. Again, VITAS raised well beyond enough money to sponsor 23 children. So we're real excited about that and real proud.
That's terrific.
Yep.
We'll make sure that we put the details on the post on the website.
Cool.
So, like we always do when we kind of come to the end of a show, we ask you for a piece of advice for family members or our listeners. What might that be?
I think something that has resonated with me since I began hospice, and it's very simple. If you're in a situation where you need health care, understand that with home health, you are to be improving in your health. And with hospice, it's when your health declines. So complete your book the way you need to complete your book. And if hospice is the answer, we will make sure your loved one goes out with the dignity and respect that they came into this life with.
And for our listeners that might want to contact you?
Absolutely. Renee Stout with VITAS Hospice. The main number for our office is 214-424-5600. And if you want to talk to me specifically, just let the receptionist know and she'll let me know.
And is there a website?
Website would be VITAS, VITAS.com Texas for the Dallas area. For the nation, nationalvitas.com.
Very good. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Brad. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you to all of our listeners. As always, you can listen to a rebroadcast of this show by going to our website, www.ugeriaradio.com. And we thank you for joining us today. And as usual, close with, if the children of our nation are our greatest national resource, then it stands to reason that our seniors are our greatest national treasure. Thank you again for joining us, and God bless.
Ugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.